Welcome to Endless 08, a time loop anime podcast. I'm Duffo.
I'm BJ.
It is 2008. We are discussing and watching anime from 2008, the year that it is.
And it's a really good year this year.
It is a really good year. We are returning to our AMV Elimination Tournament.
Yes.
Because we need to finish off the Vegeta Linkin Park Memorial Bracket.
I love that name.
I still need to show you the original. It's very good.
I'm looking
forward
to it. There's
a famous, I think it's Hard Drive wrote the comedy piece for this, which is a parody article claiming that it's been placed in the Congress, the Hall of Important Documents.
No. Oh, dear. All right. My mind has been broken a little bit there. Anyway, today we've got two fantastic entrants. First up.
I feel like they both live up to the Vegeta Linkin Park theme really well.
100%. This week. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Our first entrant was Hit the Floor by Huareng.
Yes.
I think I'm saying that right. And it was a Naruto MV.
Yeah.
With the song...
Hit the Floor.
There we go.
as it is titled, Hit the Floor by Bullet for My Valentine.
Yeah. I've heard of them.
Yes, I've seen them.
Soundwave again, I'm sure.
Yes, they were a very front of the metalcore trend.
Oh, okay.
They do a lot of songs with big guitar solos and singing about being very horny.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Or tumultuous relationships that aren't working out.
Yep. All right. Sounds about right.
Yes. Today we have that set against what I feel is a very safe, familiar territory for us, which is the original Naruto.
Yes. Yes.
We are seeing Chunin arc shit here.
Yeah, we are. We've got Rock Lee being a badass, my favorite boy. I've never revealed this, but oh my god, Rock Lee is just my dude.
Yeah.
I love him so much. I love him so much that I even watched the spin-off TV show, Rock Lee's Springtime of Youth. I think it had 50 episodes and I watched at least 2/3 of them. I might have watched all of them, to be honest. I don't actually remember.
I do often think about revisiting that one because I remember it being a lot of fun.
Oh, my favorite bit, honestly, and one of the other things I remember from it, is that they have this recurring gag where they have, if they're transitioning between a scene, there is a crow that flies overhead, and it sounds like this. Caw-haw, caw-haw. That's it. It's just such a dumb joke, and it's so wonderful. I love that show so much. Maybe after I finish watching Kill la Kill, I'll go back and watch that.
Yeah, it's fun having Orochimaru there as a cartoon fucking Scooby-Doo-ass villain who's just cooking up Roadrunner plots.
Yep, I do remember there was, I don't know how much I watched, I don't know when it happened, but there was a moment when Sasuke shows up and you're like, oh my god, it's Sasuke. And you know, at one point in the show, his big move was to cast Kirin, the jutsu that sends a big lightning bolt down. It's a big explosive thing. But when he uses it in Rock Lee's Springtime of Youth, a storm appears and the giraffe. Its neck pokes down out of the clouds because in Japanese, kirin is the word for giraffe. What a dumb joke. I love that show so much. Oh, so much fun.
Yeah. Huareng really wanted to bring us these action shots from Naruto and play up the coolness by setting it to cool metal music, throwing in some transitions there. There are some good transitions in this.
You say some transitions. I would say a lot of transitions. But yeah, there are some really well done transitions. Absolutely.
Yeah. Some of it has the feeling of this person went through all of the transitions available to them on their editing software. Yep.
At the very least, it doesn't look like they went through an alphabetical order or the list is there. They mixed it up a bit. They did some of them and then went, I want some more transitions. What haven't I used? That one. Cool.
Yeah,
okay.
So some are clearly just there for variety.
Yes.
But hey, variety is more stuff. It's more cake, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm never going to say no to more. Unless I'm stuffed. But yeah, it was fun. One thing I really want to point out with it is, or two things actually, the rhythm of it was good. It was really nicely cut in time with the music. Double kicks happened. We had some flashes of stuff and, you know, all of the cuts are happening on the beat. Very nice.
Yeah. There's in the chorus of this song, it's got these two hard guitar hits that go dun dun. And every time that happens, it links that up with some kind of attack where either someone lands two hits or in some cases they double it up and play the sequence twice in the same sort of way as, you see action sequences where you get to see the punch from three different angles.
Very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. The other thing I really wanted to mention is the animation itself, I think, has been messed with in the video. I'm not 100% sure on this, but I really feel like there are a couple of moments where the creator has increased the frame rate, not in the sense that they've sped up the shot. There was lots of speeding up and slowing down for sure.
I'm interested in your theory on this, because this sounds kind of complicated.
I feel like there were moments where they doubled up frames of animation, and they might have used like an algorithm to actually interpolate frames between, like make up frames between frames to make it a smoother animation. Like there are a couple of punches that I really feel like, you know, I feel like I watched it as a kid and I remember, you know, I've got an image of it in my mind. It's just like a, you know, 24, 25 frame per second punch. But in this, it really felt like it was, I don't know how to explain it, but when you play a video game in 30 frames a second and bump it up to 60 or 90 frames a second, you can really feel the smoothness is just better. And there were very short moments in this where I felt like a couple of the punches, a couple of the moves, there was just some extra smoothness to it.
Yeah, to be clear, this video is still in 480p, so this is not a definition.
No. I'm just guessing here. I do not know anything for a fact. I don't do any video editing myself. I'm completely new to all of this, but it really feels like they somehow increased the frame rate there to get a smoother animation than was originally in the show. As well, I feel though there was a specific moment where Rock Lee went to make a punch, and I don't remember it being in the show. It could have been, but I feel like somehow the creator here has, in filmmaking, there is a move you can do where I believe that if you're on the camera, you can zoom out but push the camera in, and it was done in Jaws, I think, like when the character realizes something and his cigarette drops out of his mouth, and it basically, like, we've got a deep shot where we've got a character somewhat close to the camera and the background is blurry, and that combination of zooming out and pushing in at the same time flattens the image, and it makes you, it really feels like you're zooming right into them without them actually changing size in the frame at all. And I think they managed to somehow do that with one of the Rock Lee punches. I don't think in the anime they did that, like in the actual show, but I think this person has somehow managed to include that. And it was really cool. It's a great way of, like, adding energy to an image and, like, extending that punch, making it seem so much more intense than it actually was. Great stuff. Fantastic.
A very funny comment you made in this. You pointed out that it's got a loading screen.
It did have a loading screen at the very beginning. It was like half a second long. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we've seen intro and outro credits, but, like, this is the first time that, like, they didn't set music. Oh, well, there might have been music to it.
No, there,
like,
wasn't. It was just a pause moment. Silent, and there was just a little spinning icon in the bottom corner that said loading. And it wasn't even like, again, 2008, video games, fun stuff, loading times are definitely an issue. And, you know, you're sitting there watching that loading screen for like 10, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. This one was half a second. So I feel like missing out a bit on the theming there. But you know what? It was in there.
Yeah, you were there in high school playing Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Generations again.
I was. Yeah, don't call me out like that, please. Was it Ultimate Ninja Storm or was it Ultimate Ninja Storm 2?
I think Ultimate Ninja Storm 2 and 3 were the ones that we were in the ecosystem for.
They were, and I was getting pissed off at everyone using 10-10 to just spam katana from afar.
Oh, I was doing that. That sounds like a me crime.
Yeah, you were. Of course you were.
10-10, Tamari, and Deidara were the three where you could just stand back and just press the throw shit button. Yeah.
Just spam the shit. It was so aggravating. Oh, my God. Eventually, I'd figure out how to block properly, and I'd get closer, and then my block would run out just as I got close to you, and then get knocked all the way back to the other side of the fucking arena. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, it's that or if someone fucking brings in Minato and then the game's just over, because that's the character that moves lightning quick, teleports around, and then kicks your ass.
Yep. And before starting this podcast, you mentioned that there was a gap in the market, that most of the, like, you know, podcasts were just people like, who would win in a fight, this guy or this guy? I feel like we're getting into that territory right now.
We'll reel it back.
Wait, let's talk about our other AMV. Its title is Conversational Spanish by Ileya.
Yeah, Ileya? I think that was the name.
I don't know if the first one is an I or if it's just two lowercase L's, but we'll say Ileya. Why not?
Yeah. I'm dropping the links in all of the comment sections here. You'll be able to go down and look at it. Sorry, not comment section. The
description.
Description for there the episode, yeah.
So this one was a collection of shots from the anime Colorful and was set to the music of Rammstein to the song Te Quiero Puta.
Yes, how's your Spanish?
Awful. I did half of a semester at university and then flunked out because the classes were at 8 a.m. and I had to get up at 4 o'clock to get there.
You should remember puja, one of your classic swear words.
No idea
this
whatsoever.
This is bitch in Spanish.
Hey, I learned something today. Fantastic.
And then te quiero is I love you.
Oh, wow. All right. I'm going to start saying this to my students and see how they respond.
Yes.
The other day. Oh, my God. Classic moment. ¿Por qué no los dos? Everyone of a certain age at least remembers that one as a little girl in the taco ads who says, why don't we do both?
Yeah.
I said that's one of my kids today and they didn't get it.
Of course, right.
This is the end of an era, people.
The end of the old El Paso era.
End of- Beautiful.
Got a quick translation here for most of the lyrics of Te Quiero Puta here. Come on, come on, dear. I really like your taste. No, 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 not your heart. Lots and lots of your lemon. Give me your fruits. Give me your love. I love you, bitch. I love you, bitch. Oh, how delicious.
Wow.
So, conversational Spanish is the title of this AMV. Is that making more sense to you at
this
point?
Yes, it is. That is a phenomenal joke. Wow. Yes. Oh.
And, you know, Rammstein, a German industrial metal band. They are a German metal band. I don't want to identify them as industrial in case I Google it and they're not counted as industrial. I know we have one hardcore German listener.
I didn't know that. I wish I knew how to say some stuff in German. I would. Damn it.
And yes, but in this instance, they're bringing in a bunch of like horns and they're playing music in the style of the mariachi.
Some of that. Yeah, mariachi flamenco kind of brass band. Yeah. Very good
stuff. So they Latinized it up while still doing this heavy metal thing. And they are setting this with some kind of sex comedy show.
Yeah. So we had to look this one up because obviously, like, no idea. Looking it up, we looked up just the anime Colorful.
That's turns tough because that gives you a 2010 movie.
Gives you a 2010 movie, which this very much is not. Turns out there was a manga series in the 90s that became an anime, a 16 episode anime in 1999 in Japan. And I was looking it up. I didn't even look at the synopsis. I just wanted to see if we were looking at the right thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
And before you tell me what the show is about, I just want to give a bit of a guess. As we were watching, I mentioned that it looks like it's just a show following a group of perverts who like upskirting women and looking up their skirts. And I theorized that the title is Colorful because that's a reference to all of the colorful panties that they get to see.
Yeah. You can only find info on this, not under Colorful, but under Karafuru.
Yep.
Which is the title on IMDb. And it just really says it's about, it's a short series about sexual situations.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That's little.
I was trying to find more info, but if you type in Karafuru, I'm going to show you some fucking images on my phone here. It gives you the Karafuru NFT collection, which completely has flooded all of the search traffic for this.
Man, the difficulties of running this show in 2008. It's just so difficult.
2008, year of the NFT.
I mean, when was Bitcoin made? I think it might have been around 2008.
I would say 2011. Yeah, somewhere in that territory.
No, because it happened. Folding Ideas has a fantastic video about the rise of Bitcoin NFT, and they said that
January 2009.
There we go. Okay, almost in the right spot. Bitcoin came about as a thought experiment, but also became seriously considered as a possible alternate currency in response to the 2008 financial crash. So, I guess, like, technically, we could say that something related to Bitcoin, to NFTs, was kind of around in 2009.
Mm.
Whatever. Mm. We're a year out. Maybe our time machine magic is slightly off. Whatever.
So, talking about what we see here in this AMV, it is a lot of shots of girls with their pants, their skirts being flipped up,
yep,
and guys pulling faces and going, whoa.
Booga booga, whoa.
like spinning eyes. And
yeah, like unbelievably cartoonish stuff. You know, not kosher now, really, in 2008. Like, sorry, it's still kosher. Less kosher in 2008, but, you know, like, it knows what it is, it appears to, at least. Again, we haven't watched the show. We're just basing it on this selection.
Yeah, maybe there is a great story here, and they've flatly ignored it to just give us these shots of...
There are a number of shots of a giant woman walking through a city, and everyone's just amazed and staring at her pants because she's wearing a skirt.
Hey, I'm not immune to giant woman.
Absolutely. Yep. Step on me, mummy, please.
Okay, not maybe in that territory.
But I am definitely interested to know more about that giant woman. Like, was this just like a 10-minute gag in an episode? Is there an actual story behind this? I want to know.
Yes, there's a very good manga at the moment. I'll have to send you some sections from Chieri's Love is 8 meters, and it's about a guy whose classmate becomes 8 meters tall.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay. I took that a different way. Wow.
And it's pretty funny, but it's also doing rom-com stuff between like this regular sized dude and this giant woman. And like the further you get into it, the more clear it is that the mangaka is so horny he should really be put down.
Oh my god, strong words.
But I still have kept up with it.
Of course you have. I just All I'm thinking of is, yeah, there's Vore stuff happening here, I'm
sure. No, he doesn't go in her mouth.
Yet.
They've maybe alluded to it once or twice. Listen, I follow a lot of fucking rom-com stuff.
I always love it whenever you introduce something new to me. Recently, we're catching up and you were like, oh, I've got, like, we watched Sōsō no Frieren. Oh my god, what an amazing show. Absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then the next week you come along and talk spout about this nonsense. Like, what the fuck is going on? Are you okay, Duffo? Are you okay?
Wide, varied tastes.
I might this just is call it trash
can,
taste.
How I can watch so many shows is a omnivorous nature.
I don't understand it.
We've got some like mouth dubbing that happens here.
Yes.
Particularly to the call of Te Quiero Puta.
Yeah, yeah. It's not amazingly well done, but, you know, working with what they have, it was clear that it was there and that's what they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. There were also a couple of screams that were synced up to the guys making the funny faces and going, wah! So, you know, again, nice.
Talk to me about this credit sequence, which I feel it does give it bonus points at the end.
Absolutely, it does. At the end, the song finishes and then kicks back up again for a segment, and there is a credit sequence. And in this credit sequence, I think it goes on for about 30 to 45 seconds. And in the credit sequence, the creator of the video is going, am I doing this right? Is this what a credit scene should look like? I feel like I'm putting too much...
They're going, wait, are you still reading this?
Yeah. I feel like I'm putting too much words into these because all of the credits is there's like imagery on the top happening and then there's just a black bar at the bottom that can house like maybe 20 words max. They end up filling up all that space. They just start going, I feel like I'm putting too many words in here. And if I keep doing this, it's going to make it... you're going to have to pause the video, which I feel is going to ruin the mood of these credits. So I'll do it again now. Unhinged is, I think, a pretty good way to describe those. Very fun. I'm completely not expecting it. Definitely bonus points.
Yes.
I would like to take points off, though, because there were attempts at, you know, syncing with the rhythm and having those kinds of, like, flashes of things and whatnot, and they just weren't fully synced. Like,
no.
There were a couple of moments where there were some double kicks, and you're like, yeah, okay, cool, we'll, like, do some flashing along with the double kicks. But they didn't time it with it. They just went, there is some double kicks, we'll put in some flashing. I didn't actually bother to count how many double kicks there were and how many flashes they needed.
Yes.
So, you know, an attempt was made.
The editor was too horny to count.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, absolutely. I don't know that there's that much more to say, honestly, about it.
No, I've intent was conveyed.
Yes.
Thank you. But as far as, you know, going into the bracket for the best AMV of 2008, I feel like we have to put forward the one that, you know, has a shot of taking on the other Vegeta Linkin Park contestants.
And for me, that was definitely Hit the Floor.
Yes.
It's just got that level of polish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see how it goes in the next round.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Endless 08. I've been Duffo.
And I've been BJ. You can find all our stuff at endless08.com and on our social media.
If you know a real freak, tell them about the show. We'll see you next time.